So, Heavenly Father, just bless these few words. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, Lord, that we're just at your feet, Lord, giving all our burdens, Lord, our anxieties, our problems, Lord, that we just go before you, Lord. And you are valuable. Thank you, Lord, that just help us, Lord, to take all the unvaluable things that we have in our lives and just put it at your feet, Lord. And you are worthy, Lord, like the song, David's psalm, Lord. And just thank you. Thank you that you are, man. It was just so refreshing this morning just to know, Lord, that we can just go at your feet. We run boldly to your throne, Lord, but we can just be at your feet, Lord, in your presence. Just thank you so much, Lord, for what you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. But I was like, you know, I'm going to put my theology away, you know. It's like I came here to pay respect for a man that I knew. And it was, what was interesting about it was like, there was a lot of good things that were said, but you know that old expression, beat around the bush?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like they didn't obtain that bush, you know. Man, just bring it home, you know. It's like a field goal ready to kick and you just go slightly left, you know. And again, I'm not here to, I mean, I know, you know, Catholics in the prison that are born again. And so it's like, it's not even that point. My thing was is like, they kind of missed the whole point. You know, they had all the right sayings and the right things they were doing. And it's like, you're almost there. You're almost there. Just bring it home. And I think when the priest put away the Bible and just spoke from his heart, like, man, there was some things flowing. And it's like, just, you know, just keep doing that. But again, I'm not here to bash on any. We're all searching for truth. We're all searching for truth. So I say this to say that we can go through this life beating around the bush and missing the point. So let's turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. And this morning, Pastor Bailey recommended that, you know, you read this book, and it was just funny because that's what I was going to speak on tonight. And so if you didn't ever read it, we're just going to breeze through it real quick. We want to follow our pastor's advice. So, it's really chapter 1 and verse 2. In chapter 2, we're going to just look through. But I'll wait till we get there. All right, so Ecclesiastes is a great book. Actually, it was a book that my spiritual eyes were open to God with, was this book. And in verse 12, he had great power. In verse 16, he had great estate, basically. Like, he was talking about his land, the fruit, vineyard. You know, he had servants, he had singers, he had everything that he obtained. Great wisdom, he says in verse 17 and verse 18. Great works, he announces in chapter 2, verse 4. Great possessions. In chapter 2, verse 9, he even says he was a great person. Again, I was sharing this with the young guys. I was like, all right, so who wants to be a king? Who would want to be a king? Not a lot of the young guys wanted it. They're like, no, it's too much responsibility. So, okay, how about who wants to have money, be rich beyond your dreams, you know, more than Bill Gates and Oprah? And obviously everyone raised their hand on that. And then what was the other criteria? Like how land, homes, oh, great peace. There was no war in Solomon's time. All right, so basically it's like no drama. No drama in your life, you know, everyone. And then I said, how about a woman, right? To have a woman. And these young guys were. And then I said, multiple women. And it's still, I'm like, hey. You know, I know your parents. I know your parents. But this guy had all of that. And the conclusion of all this was vanity. All of it. But look with me in chapter 2. In the end of chapter 2, verse 26. It was so fresh. It says, for God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the work of gathering and collecting, that he may give to who is good before God. This is also is vanity and grasping for the wind. You know, it's so funny when I mention this book and I tell people, like, can you hold on to the wind? Can you go and try to catch it? You know, and then you look so silly doing it, right? But people actually do that. They grasp in the wind if they're pursuing these things that are not obtainable, right? And so, in this verse, just look with me here. It says, sinners, he gives the work of gathering and collecting. Well, in a way, believers, we gather and collect too, right? So I'm thinking, Wednesday, my coworker said something really profound. He said, the coworker that passed was Rich, and he said, Rich was so close to retire. And then I'm thinking, huh? So in this life, we can just think about just settling for retirement, right? Just gathering and collecting. And then here, this is what God adds. He gives wisdom, knowledge, and joy to a man. Like there's a spiritual realm, though. There's a spiritual blessing to a man and a woman of God. Like there's an added life, and not just a life that we just go and gather and collect, but a life that's added to it. Abundant life, it says in John 10:10. Like, this is the abundant life that we have. It's like, I'm not just going here, just settling my 401k or going through this life. I was like, at work, I was not feeling like working that week. I was like, it's like, what am I doing? Like, I'm doing this for what? You know, like, I can be gone tomorrow, right? And I know that's a wrong attitude, right? My work ethic should reflect Christ even. You know, but in a way I was like, you know, and I grew from that, but I was thinking, I'm like, I'm not just gathering and collecting. Like, God has given me joy. And like last week, I don't know if you remember, this is joy that's outside of me. Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Like, even Christ on the cross was not, he was not mustering his own ability. No, he was putting his faith in his Father. And, it's just incredible. Like, I find joy outside of myself or outside of my circumstances. And I'm not just going through this life, just doing the mundane thing and say, oh, okay, so I'm going to go Monday, go to work, Tuesday, go to work. No. There's an added life that God gives and only to his children. And I'm thinking about like this particular verse. And I said, thank you, God, that you give us wisdom and knowledge. Where do I find wisdom and knowledge in this book? Where do I find joy in this life? You know, I remember Pastor Charlotte said, like, God didn't ordain us to have miserable lives. Like, he didn't ordain that. He didn't create that. So as a believer, like, even if I'm in a moody state or I'm in a state of misery even, I just go and be refreshed and say, you know what, God, you've given me this life that has joy. You've given me this life that has knowledge and wisdom. Not just every day, not just gathering and collecting. You've given me an added bonus even in this life. And so, yeah, this is what I was meditating on this week. And you know, again, we can go through this life and be focused on the wrong things, or we can go through this life and not think about what is the importance, right? What are we doing here? I'm not clocking in, clocking out, and call it a day. No, I'm going to go and try to invest in lives, invest in people's eternities, right? Like we take in on Saturdays, we take our time to invest in people's time so they can know the source of time, you know? It's just, it's all related. I go to work and I'm not just going to work. I'm praying for my coworkers. I'm saying, God, give me you know what's so crazy? I remember Mr. Bernard in Canada. He told me his hour commute to work, cause he lives outside of Montreal, Canada. His hour commute, he always prays for his coworkers. And I don't know, right in the beginning of this week, I did that. I said, you know what, God? Do something that would start conversation. And how ironic that on Tuesday, we found out that he just passed away. And I'm telling you, there were so many people that was in you know, on Wednesday, and I'm not going to mention one of my coworkers, but he was actually wanted to talk about football. And I said, you know what? Today is not the day to be talking about football. Like, I don't even have, what's it called? Like, I'm not even there right there in my mind to talk about football. Like, what does the world have to communicate when someone passes? And I understand people deal with it differently. But I'm over here trying to, you know, and God gives us this in Ecclesiastes 3, it says, God give us these seasons of grief, grieving people, right? So, like, no one should ever rush you to not remembering somebody. Like, no one should. The Bible even says God's given you a season. But what I'm trying to say is, like, what's the main thing here? You know, what is the point? I'm not here to talk about meaningless things when people are actually suffering, right? And it was just a great, great conversations with people this week. But it's like, I'm not just collecting and gathering. Like, I'm doing more than that. And God's given me more to do in this life than to do that. So, Heavenly Father, just thank you for this short intro, Lord, and just really thank you, Lord. Martha let you in her door, let you in the house, but she didn't invite the word. She didn't stay at the feet for the word. And I don't want to go through this life, coming through this life, and not accepting the word. I can accept Christ, and I know I got eternal security, but I want to accept the word. I want the word flowing through me. I want the word given to people. Lord, just fill me up and use me up as you in your will, Lord, and let me be more of a Mary, Lord, at your feet, willing to listen, willing to hear from you. Because there's a lot of things that we say to people that we've never been in those situations. But Lord, that you have a word for everybody that comes across from us. So just thank you for this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ecclesiastes, huh? The book of Ecclesiastes. And we could say this in spirit of the message this morning with Mary and Martha. Turn with me to Luke 10 again. Luke 10 again. Part of what we were saying this morning is the need for being at the feet of Jesus. But then what I'm saying right now to go out on outreach together is the need to be serving people and the need to be out with the gospel. And how do we find this kind of balance in our own lives between Mary and Martha? I think Jess read a book years ago, Having a Mary Heart in a Martha World. Anybody read that one? I read the title. That's all the insight I have on it. But I like the idea of it. I like it. And I think this is an accurate way for us to live. That we have in our hearts, we are at the feet of Jesus and we are consumed with Christ. But then we are active also. And there is a lot of activity in our life. And I know it could be that a lot of activity can drain us, and it can like get us to the point where we have no energy, right? Or even we're a little discouraged, or we're a little burnt out. Right? Have you ever felt burnt out? I mean, from working, right? Yeah, you feel exhausted. You are. Stretch to the limit, and you just say, I can't do another thing. And someone in your family comes in and says, can I have a cup of water? I cannot get you a cup of water. No, don't ask me anything. I'm like, okay, wow. So it's important that we have this because, I think the spirit-filled believer and the grace-motivated believer is the hardest working person you meet. And maybe someone who can understand how to extend themselves and to go beyond. I was talking to Carlos this week about Pastor Schaller. He was asking me just a couple questions. I said, oh no, he doesn't sleep. He never sleeps. Maybe an hour or two a night, right? And then he catches a nap or something like that. But he's always praying, always reading, always studying. But if you know Pastor Schaller, you know he's refreshed. All right, he's got joy. He's got, he's alive. It's amazing. And that comes from somewhere. Okay, Luke 10. Mary and Martha. Verse 38, now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Beautiful. This is Martha. Martha is busy. Martha is doing something beautiful here, isn't she? Hallelujah. Where would he have eaten that night? I don't know. And she said, she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Hallelujah. Oh, beautiful. Those two things. Martha invited Christ into her home. What a beautiful place to be in the home together. You know, there's the idea that your neighbors, you have a neighbor that you say hi to. Hey, how's it going? Good. How's it going? How's the dog? Good. How's the kid? Good. And that's the depth of the conversation. You could have the same conversation for 20 years. And then there's the other neighbor. Oh, how's the weather? Oh, the weather. I can't believe it's going to rain tomorrow. Oh, my gosh. It's going to rain tomorrow. I can't believe it rained. Wow. Right. And there is the depth of your conversation. And then maybe you have another neighbor. You sit on the front porch together and you can talk about something. But how many friends do you have that come into your home? And then how many friends do you have that come in and you sit on the couch together and you have time? Right? And then the idea of intimacy is to be laying next to each other, right? So how many of your neighbors do you invite up into your bedroom? You say, let's lay down and chat. Right? No. I hope not. Right? But the idea of the depth of relationship, right, the depth of relationship. Martha here is not looking for a shallow relationship with God, with Christ, but she is inviting him into her home. And she has it in her heart to serve. And throughout the Old Testament, we see stories of people who have sat with Christ and they have served him. And it's beautiful. Revelation happens in this service where Abraham prepared a meal for the Lord. And before he went, the angels went to Sodom and Gomorrah, right? He said, stay here and I'll prepare you a meal. And he prepares a meal. Samson's parents prepared a meal for the Lord and presented it to him on the rock and went up in smoke. Gideon had the privilege to prepare something for the Lord. It's a beautiful principle. And Christ says in Revelation chapter 5, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whosoever will open, I will come in and I will dine with him. Who is that letter? Who is that written to? It's written to believers. We use it as an evangelistic tool, and it's accurate, it's true. But the context of that passage is that Christ is speaking, or John is writing to believers. That Christ is standing at the door of your heart, and he is knocking. And he is saying, may I come into a depth of relationship with you, and may I sit and dine with you. Can we get beyond the weather and the dog? And, you know, the tree, like, can we go into a conversation of how we were really doing? Martha is there inviting Christ into her home. And then Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus and she is hearing his word. There is worship. The highest form of education, Pastor Stevens would say, is listening to the word of God preached. Right? The highest form of worship is when we are listening to God's word. Worship service, isn't that what we call our times? A worship service, and we think that the music is the worship service. That's like the introduction or the preparation. It is the first part of the worship service, but the worship continues throughout the time. And even the fellowship that we have together, there is worship in it. So here is Mary at the feet of Jesus listening to his word. But could it be that in my sincerity and in my work and in my call, I could be distracted about what is necessary and what is important? I think that's what happens to Martha. It says it here in verse 40. Martha was distracted with much serving. That her intention was beautiful. Her plan was beautiful. But then somewhere she lost contact with the relationship and with the intimacy of Christ, with Christ. And she got distracted. And this will happen to us. It's not a question of a question of when will this happen. And if you talk about distraction, it probably will happen in the next 10 seconds, that I'll be distracted by something. This is our life. There, man, see, I'm a prophet. There we go. Look, now it's time. But what do I do in my distraction, in my distracted state, that I am, I could be frustrated. Here, Martha is frustrated and angry at Mary. Come on, Mary. Come on. You're missing the point. Come on. Let's go. Get up. Let's go. And I don't want my faith to get to this point where I am driven or I am distracted from fellowship with Christ or distracted from hearing the words of Christ. I've told this story before about being in South Africa. I was 19 years old, lived in South Africa with Pastor Manny and Molly. Amazing time. Powerful time in my life personally. I had this little room. Me and Pastor Jabu, we shared a room that was honestly like this big. Just this tiny thing. So I slept on the balcony most nights. And, cause he kicked me out. No. But I remember we would be soul winning every day. Every day. We'd have prayer meeting and then every day we were out on the streets. And at some point I was just out there just handing out tracts, right? Just counting them. 10 left. Okay. Let's get these going. Let's get these out. If the tracks are gone, then I have no obligation to talk to anybody. Right? And I remember a woman stopped and I gave her a track and she moved along and I said something to her in response to what she said to me. And the Holy Spirit just slapped me in the face. Said, what are you doing right now? What are you doing? Are you loving people like I love people? Are you accurately portraying my love for those people? And I was so convicted. I was convicted because I was distracted from what the gospel was. I was distracted from what the mission was in my activity, right? So that was a good lesson for me. So the Lord, look at, she goes to Jesus. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Can you believe it? Do you believe it? Mary, because we're not doing the same thing, because she's not doing what I'm doing, she must be doing something wrong. Or in my distraction, whatever it is, the little bitterness that I could have, the little cockatrice eggs that could be hatching in my heart, and I begin to murmur about it. She murmurs, oh, Martha, how kind is this response? Martha, Martha, hey, Martha. You're missing the point. You are worried and troubled about many things. Like, the food was fantastic, Martha. The dishes will get taken care of at some point. But please, what is this? You invited me into your home for a purpose, and are you realizing that purpose? Are you in it? And I think the time we live in is maybe the most distracted time ever. I don't know. I read these guys from the 1800s, and they talk about the distractions of the age and how busy life is and how distracting it can be. And I laugh because I think it's a little different now. Right? And like, I wish it was 1880, right? And I could just go and get on a mule and go somewhere. That'd be fantastic. But it's not, right? Not even in Paxton. It's not even there. Right? But, where was I? The dishes will get done. Right? Exactly, right? Exactly. Distractions. Yeah, we live in a very distracted time where our attention to things is limited. Right? We're like in a goldfish bowl. Everybody's curious about what's on the other side of the bowl, right? And even though we've been there 1,000 times, right? You open your phone, it's like you're on autopilot, and you're like, how am I on this site right now? I don't even need it. I don't even know what I'm looking for. But I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I'm looking, and I don't know. And there's like a little angst in it, and I don't even, you know. Am I missing the point? Am I missing Christ? Can I quiet down and just be at the feet of Jesus listening to his words? And it's a challenge. It's a great practice, though, that we would slow down. Take one psalm and read it for a week. You say, but then I won't get the whole book of Psalms done in a month. Well, no, it's okay. Right? You're distracted by your goal, maybe. I have to do a proverb a day, I have to do five psalms a day, and then I get through it in a month. It's the program, it's what I do. Martha, Martha, relax. That's good. That's good. It's, if that's what God is calling you to do, do it. It's fantastic. But something, take 1 week and read one psalm in a week, every day, two or three times a day, and see what you find in it. You find a depth in relationship, but it's listening to the words of God. And you find great, great fruit in it, and maybe it will slow us down a little bit. One thing is needed. One thing is needed. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her. What part did Mary choose? What we've been saying. She chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his words. Did she say, I'm never going to do the dishes, I'm never going to help you, I'm never going to help you take care of any of this stuff, Martha? Ha ha! No. But while Christ is there, she is at his feet. While he is speaking, she is listening to his words. And that's necessary. Very necessary. But then when we see Martha in chapter 12 of John, we see that she's still serving. You can actually read it in John 12, verse 2. There they made him supper. They're not even at Martha's house anymore. They're at Simon the Tanner's house. Simon, who was a leper, and they're in his house. And Martha, there they made him a supper, and Martha served. Hallelujah. Martha served. Lazarus was there eating, and Mary was there at Jesus' feet. It's the same story, isn't it? It's the same story, but very different. Very different. They're doing the same things. But Martha is now serving, seemingly not out of the anxiety and the stress. Lazarus is somebody who has come alive from the grave. He's very different. Something radical has happened in his life. And then Mary now is pouring out everything she has at the feet of Jesus. So you could say, look at, if you dropped yourself into one scene, picked yourself up, dropped into the next scene, nothing's changed. Everybody's doing the same thing. But there's a different song in Martha's heart. And there is a necessity that she would be there serving. And it's needed. Like if our church people weren't serving in our church, then we wouldn't be anywhere. This thing would have wrapped up a long time ago. Pastor Morrison serving for 30 years. Amazing. Amazing. If he had not had that work ethic and that spiritual application, then this wouldn't be. It's absolutely necessary. Very nice. Pastor Stevens in the Charlotte Dunning days driving down from Maine. How long? A 4-hour ride? Is it? You listen to the tapes. You can listen, huh? Two? We like to exaggerate. 4-hour round trip. That's what I'm saying. 2-hour drive. He's going there. He's coming. And you listen to the old tapes and he's talking about driving back from Framingham at 3 a.m. and at some point somebody fell asleep at the wheel and they drove into a ditch or something like that. Right? Like this stuff happened. But if you know the life of Pastor Stevens, he was so committed to what God had called him to do. But also he was refreshed because every day he had himself there at the feet of Jesus. And he had everything he had was poured out at the feet of Jesus. And these are great examples for us. Great examples for us. And we need it. We need it. We need both of these things in our life. Like Pastor Donald said, was it last week or a couple weeks ago, the sponge? Remember the sponge? You need to express the things out of the sponge. Otherwise it gets, right? Thank you. I was doing the dishes the other day. I said, Pastor Donald said, squeeze the sponge. Got it out of the sponge and I put it on top. Not in the sink, but on the sink. Necessary. It is necessary that we find an outlet for what God is doing in our hearts. Whatever that is. Whatever it is, if it's in the nursery at some point, if it's in Sunday school at some point, pray for our Christian education. We have it in our hearts that they could be back in the building. That's a beautiful place to pour out into little ones, into young kids, into the families in our church. Outreach, we're going to be doing some things soon with a food drive-through thing. Is that cool? Food drive-through thing?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Sounds complicated. No, we actually, another church in Littleton reached out to us and asked if we would work with them. World Vision is, a huge organization, and they work with food suppliers in the area, and they get all the food before it goes to the finish line. And they collect it and they put it in boxes, and the church in Littleton will have a refrigerator tractor trailer, and they'll donate thousands of boxes, and then we will be a pod, a point of delivery. So we go there, pick up 100 boxes of food, and then set up a little drive-through where we can distribute fresh produce, dairy, and meat to the community. Right? So we're waiting on final technicalities with the church, but what an opportunity to serve the community. Because they're going to pull through here, and there's going to be like 17 points where someone's going to ask them if they believe in Jesus. And we have an opportunity to give the gospel, but also an opportunity to express our love for people and say, hey, if you are in need, whoever you are, come. Our heart is that you would not be in need and that you would have something, but also we would ask that you would listen to us and we could tell you about why we're doing this and what's happening. I spoke with a couple of young men last week in their car, and I don't know if the police had shown up, maybe we all would have been arrested because there was things happening. But it was good. Good conversation. And then he said, why are you doing this? It was like I was getting tested. He said, why are you talking to us? Why are you doing this? And I said, I'm just trying to score some points with Jesus. That's all. Just trying to get a little promotion. That's all. What do you think? You think I love you or something? What? No, I said it that for no reason, but my life has been changed, and I'd like to introduce you to the one who changed my life.
Right?
And that's it. That's it. God loves you. That's what we have to say to people. This is how we express what God is doing in our hearts in service. But it starts at the feet of Jesus. It starts there by being served by Jesus and by being encouraged by his words and being built and being transformed and being changed, and then looking out and saying, hey, we have something to offer in this world. Like Abraham. Like Abraham in Genesis 22. We said it this morning. It's a powerful chapter, isn't it? Genesis 22. You ever get to Genesis 22 and you go, okay, 23? I don't want to think about that one right now. It's a little hard to read. It's challenging, isn't it? It's challenging. And we come to Jesus and he says, give it to me. And we say, no way. No way. Do you understand what that means to me? And he says, just give it to me. You say, no, you're out of your mind. No way. And he says, just put it there. Put it there. Trust me. Trust me. Abraham puts it on the altar. The knife is there. Abraham, stop. Hallelujah. Right? God will provide. And he gets Isaac back. Oh, in a new way. A new relationship to Isaac, a new relationship to God, like revived, rejuvenated. And then he comes down the mountain, and I love it. It's like this picture with Mary and Martha and Lazarus being the same picture, right? Lazarus is eating again. There he is at the table eating again. Mary's at the feet of Jesus. Martha's serving. Same thing, yada, 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 right? Same thing, different day, right? You ever get that answer? How's it going? Same thing, different day. It might look that way on the outside, but on the inside, there's something serious happening. Abraham went up on the mountain, and he did not know what was going to happen. But he went up there by faith, and he met God. That's it. He met God, and God provided. And God gave him an understanding that would be the platform for the rest of his life. And he comes down from the mountain, and there's the guys with the donkeys. Right? More donkeys. I read it again this morning. It said, ooh, the donkey kingdom is there too. He left the donkey at the bottom of the mountain. And then he came back down to the donkeys. And everything looks the same. You're like, well, that was a big waste of time. Let's go back now. Everything looks the same to the two guys at the bottom of the mountain. But inside Abraham's heart. When you go up to the mountain, it's for you. It's for you. And when you come back down, people might not know the difference. I know we said this morning the fragrance fills the room. Yes, it does, absolutely. But seemingly people would say, okay, let's continue doing what we're doing. But there's something different in your heart. And that will be evident as you walk and as you go and as God blesses you. So Just to encourage us to have both of these in our life, that I would have time at the feet of Jesus, and that would be the thing that motivates my service. That would be the thing that moves me into service. A lot of times we flip it upside down where we serve so that we would have a place with Jesus, right? If only I did this, then I would be able to sit next to Jesus. If I did, then I would be worthy. If I did, then he would notice. If I did, da da da. But it is, be there, know that that's your place, be fed there, be built there, and allow your freedom to go out from there and to come back. And that's the service that we want. That's the way that God is glorified. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Lord Jesus, thank you for leading us so faithfully. God, thank you. Thank you. You've called us. You've chosen us. You've delivered us. Help us to find our space, find our place at your feet, Lord. And also move us in activity for the kingdom, Lord. Help us to be ambassadors that make an impact in this world, Lord. Thank you. Pray for our families, Lord. Pray for the kids and the teachers going back to school. They have gone back. They are going back this week. And just pray for that whole thing, Lord. Cover every school, every teacher, every child. And just pray that we move forward in this time. Thank you for the church, Lord. I pray for the churches in our area, that you would move them also, Lord, in freedom and liberty and in this service to the kingdom. Lord, thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.